As promised, I have a extremely special guest with me in the studio. His name is Graham Brown. He is a performing poet. I saw him only yesterday at the Rhythm Tree Festival, where he got a fantastic reaction from the audience on the Woodland stage, which was hosted by Paul Armfield. Is that right, Graham? Yeah. I've asked Graham, put Graham on the spot to say, before he says anything about himself, could he read us a poem just for us on Vectis Radio? So, Graham, over to you.
Right, OK, thank you, Kevin. Right, this first one is called Tarzan 2015.
Tarzan no longer swing from creeper, going, health and safety say too dangerous. It like jungle out there. Tarzan sit in new wood hut, built to standard regulation. Wear western man clothing, loincloth against dress code. Tarzan no longer fish or hunt, get food from supermarket. Thursday change library books, always read between lions. Tarzan sad, cheetah dead, ran over in driving lesson. Instructor angry, shake head, say Tarzan should go Specsavers. Tarzan got Facebook page, send message to girl called Jane. Men coming to cut down trees, soon be living in city.
Oh, wow. Brilliant. Thank you, Graham. The first question has got to be, how on earth did you start doing this? Because you got a really quirky style. Does it go back a long way? Has this sort of developed over many years, or is it something you've just recently come to?
Yeah, it's over a long period of time, really. I've always had a sort of quirky sense of humour. And I think when I was about 18, I wanted to sort of do something with that. You know, I didn't really want to do stand-up comedy or anything, but so I started off. I was originally going to be a singer-songwriter, but I could write the lyrics, but I found I couldn't play the guitar or sing, really. So, although it doesn't stop some people.
Oh, bit of satire there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it eventually evolved as more towards poetry and
Was it always? Have you always gone for humour in the poetry, or did you start off a bit where we got this image, haven't we? In fact, I was probably one of them, fairly spotty young person writing soulful lines. Is that how your poetry began, or did you just go straight to the funny, quirky stuff?
Yeah, well, really, my two main influences are Roger McGough.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Lucky to See on the Island last year.
Yeah.
In Ventnor.
Yeah.
And Leonard Cohen, so you can... it's almost a bipolar.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah.
You've got the King of Mirth and the King of Depression. I started off writing sort of... Maybe they were a bit gloomy to start with, but... Sometimes I do write more serious stuff, but there's always a glimmer of humour in there.
Yeah, okay. Dark humour?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Even the Tarzan one, which I just read, although that's a comedy one, there is a serious ecological message at the end of it, you know, so it's...
Yeah.
All the trees are being cut down, so you have nowhere to live, because I just had the idea. I wonder how Tarzan would cope now, you know.
Yeah.
When there's...
Yeah. Is there... it's probably an impossible question to answer, but is there a sort of device that you use to generate the ideas for poetry, or do you just walk around with a little black book making notes, or are you an observer of people and that's where it all comes from?
Yeah, so it's just... where the ideas come from. Sometimes it might be a turn of phrase that somebody says, and an overheard conversation. Sometimes just you get an idea, or there's something in the newspaper and you think it sparks something off.
Yeah. And would you say that you're a prolific writer of poems? I mean, have you got hundreds of them collected and ready to perform, or do you tend to sort of reject a lot and just end up with a smaller number of the ones that you're happy with?
Yeah, there's a separate category between the ones I perform and other ones, which, you know, there's enough doom and gloom, so we don't want to depress everybody, although I do throw in the odd serious one here and there.
Yeah.
Between the laughs.
But do you find that most people appreciate you for your quirky humour, so the performance side of it is you feel that that's your, maybe your niche?
Yes, yeah, more or less. Yeah. If I go to somewhere where I haven't read before, I usually try a surefire one, and if I don't get the laughs, then I know I'm in serious trouble.
But do you find you usually do get the laughs?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only happened once, I think. That was in a place in London which was totally the wrong sort of audience.
Okay.
And I was probably the wrong sort of poet for their venue.
But so we've talked about how you came to start writing them.
Yeah.
But how did you come to start performing? Because there is a huge difference for poets, isn't there?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, really, I come from Aldershot originally, and we have a place there called the West End Centre, which was a former junior school, which is now an arts centre. And I'm pleased to say the future of that has been secured, because a couple of years ago that was in danger of closing down. And there was all sorts of things going on. They had a theatre group, which I joined as well, because I do quite a bit of theatre.
I know.
And yes. I've actually was in the same cast as you in Amadeus, although we weren't on stage together at the same time.
I remember. That was at the Apollo Theatre, couple of years ago? Or 3 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've recently done The Tempest at the Apollo.
Of course.
So I can call myself a Shakespearean actor now. But really, that's good for performing. But while I was at the West End Centre, there was a poetry group that met there as well, and they did a few sort of things where people got up and read poems, and so it was good. I'm still in touch with a couple of those people, even though it was sort of like a good 30 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So that's good.
And did you, we were chatting earlier and you mentioned Newcastle, and one of the big things you did up there, I think I'm right, was to set up a group, giving other people the chance to come and perform their own poems alongside you.
Yes.
Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, certainly. I was really looking for places in Newcastle to read poetry, and found that although Newcastle was renowned for its poet scene, its poetic scene, there was no venue for me to perform. The famous Borden Tower, which is part of the old Newcastle city walls, it's a lovely venue, and all the greats in poetry have read there, from Allen Ginsberg sort of, and people like that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you have to be invited to read there, and I thought, well, hang on a minute, how do you get established if there's nowhere for you to read?
Yeah.
So after I went to the arts the arts foundation there and said, look, I've got this idea. Maybe I could run some poetry nights. They said, well, it's very commendable, but we haven't got any money. And so in the end I thought, well, blow this, I'm going to hire a room and do it off my own bat, you know.
Good for you.
Which I did, and it started off with about 8 people turned up to the first one. We ran for 4 years in the end, but it grew, and it was very good.
Oh, well done. But was that like every week for 4 years?
It was once a month for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I also published an anthology as well, every 6 months, so we had about 7 anthologies altogether.
Wow.
And some of the people in there have sort of done quite well for themselves since.
Okay. Is that anthology still available? Could people buy it, or not really?
I do have some copies somewhere.
Yeah.
somewhere gathering dust.
Fair enough. Move on.
But it was good.
Yeah.
And say a couple of the people that came along have now sort of really blossomed. And one of the girls that came as a very shy girl who'd never read in public before has recently won a couple of poetry prizes.
Oh, brilliant. You
know, so I'm always pleased to see what I would regard as my protégés.
Yeah.
Because I gave them the opportunity.
And how long ago was that in Newcastle, Graham?
That was really in the late 90s.
Okay.
About 96 to the turn of the century.
Yeah. And I know. It makes us sound really ancient, doesn't it?
last
century.
Yes.
When did you come to the Isle of Wight?
Very early in 2003.
Okay. Why was that? What happened to bring you here?
Well, as I said earlier, I'm from Aldershot originally.
We won't hold it against you.
No, that's it. the family situation was such that my stepfather, unfortunately, after a long illness, he died. And also my wife's father had died a couple of years before. So we felt we needed to move back down south to be nearer the families. My wife's family is in Reading and my mother still lives in Aldershot. But we had a look at house prices, Southampton, Portsmouth. When we were in Newcastle, we actually lived out on the coast. So we wanted to be somewhere by the sea, if possible.
Yeah.
And we ended up picking up a property paper for the Isle of Wight and thought, oh, these prices don't seem too bad. And we were both sort of languishing in the civil service, and they have branches everywhere.
Yeah.
So we managed to get transfers.
Oh, brilliant.
And my wife actually had to work in Portsmouth for about 2 months.
Oh, no.
Trekking across. So that wasn't too good, but eventually a position came up for her as well. So,
yeah, fantastic.
In Newport, so that was good.
Yeah. And did you carry on the poetry performance throughout? So all you had a professional life earning money as well, and then you moved to the Isle of Wight. Was that a blip in your performance poetry? Did it all stop for a while, or did you just carry on?
No, not really. I was going to establish something similar on the island, and then lo and behold, the Key Arts, about a month before months after I arrived, the Key Arts had an open mic poetry,
which
ran for a few years, but it came at the right time for me, and I got involved there, and
fantastic.
There we are. So I was able to continue and meet quite a lot of island poets. We have a lot of different poetry groups on the island, of which I belong to two.
You're quite selective, are you? Just two.
Well, I wasn't going to join the Shore Women for obvious reasons, but
Well, I'm not going to comment on that, Graham, but we're on radio and they can't see you, can they?
An unsure man, maybe.
Well, I think we need another poem from you. Could you choose another one?
Right.
After that, we'll take a little musical break and then we'll come back and have another chat with you. So what's your next one, Graham?
Right, this next one, not a lot of people will know that Elvis Presley actually visited the Isle of Wight.
No.
So he did for the purposes of this poem.
Oh,
anyway.
I see. All right. Oh, you had me going there, Graham.
Yeah. No, we just have to make do with people like Bob Dylan and Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
Yeah. Life's tough.
Anyway, so this is called Viva Las Vectis. And there's no prizes, but you could count up how many Elvis songs you can find in the poem.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Right. All shook up from the White Link ferry, he staggers onto Yarmouth's terra firma, lost in a sea of impersonators. Way down in freshwater, has his photo taken by Julia, checks in at the Heartbreak Hotel. Next day, puts on blue suede shoes, no longer suspicious, minds downward path of Shanklin Chine, mingles with God's Hill tourists, half recognised in Newport, lunch at the sloop, loves meat tender.
Oh, no.
But doesn't have a wooden heart. Carisbrook, crying in the chapel. Return to Sandown. Alehouse, Rook. It's now all Ventnor. Tea in Ride and a gâteau. I just can't help believing the wonder of Sea View. Are you lonesome tonight?
Oh, brilliant. Well, I don't know how close I was, but I was getting to about 15 or 16 there.
Yeah, there's this.
Are there more?
No, that'd be about right, probably.
Oh, whoa. Is there a prize? Yeah, oh, well done. I like that one. We'll just have a little bit of music, if you don't mind hanging on for a bit longer, Graham. And then when we come back,
of course,
we'll chat a bit more, and maybe you can read us one more of your wonderful poems.
Right.
Thanks, Graham. Chris Isaac, Blue Hotel. This is Kevin on Vectis Radio, having a chat with Graham Brown, a performance poet who's already read out two of his poems. But Graham, one of the things that struck me, because I saw you yesterday at Rhythm Tree with quite a few other poets who were all doing their stuff on the Woodland stage, and I hadn't realised just how active the island it seems to be now with spoken word stuff. Is that your impression now, that it's quite a growing area of the arts sector on the island?
Yes, I think it is. There's a lot more events than there used to be. There was a little sort of hiatus where the events of the Key Arts stopped for various reasons.
Yeah,
and then people just did odd things here and there, but. There's a fellow called John Armstrong who has this organisation called Corderize.
Oh, yes.
And he sort of has lots of contacts with musicians and poets, and he's been putting on a series of events at the Ventnor Exchange, the old post office in
yes.
Ventnor.
Yeah.
I did one on last Friday there.
Uh-huh.
And at the Depository in Ryde.
Yes.
I'll make sure I say that correctly.
Yes, do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, you know, that there are, I've met other people through there, and their various projects. There's Ivana Popov, who read yesterday. She's only been on the island since February, but she's already involved with the literary festival to do an afternoon on the Sunday working with young people.
Okay.
She's asked me to read a couple there, so that's
good.
Quite good, and I think it's gradually becoming more acceptable to be a poet again.
Yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it? Why it's a difficult one, but why the performance side of it? Where, because it never. I'm assuming that's a relatively new phenomenon in the arts, isn't it? That poets standing up and speaking their words to people. Or does it go back quite a long way?
Yeah, I think it goes back really to the sort of Liverpool poets in the 60s.
Yeah, so Roger McGough.
And so forth, and the Beat poets, of course, Ginsberg, filled the Albert Hall, you know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a poet today filling the Albert Hall?
Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is that the 60s?
Yeah, more or less the sort of early 60s, and then...
Yeah, and just being pedantic about it, do you know why it happened then? What did something actually happen to make that an event in its own right? Because it never existed before, did it?
I think it was just part of the culture that they had in the 60s when the Beatles arrived. Even John Lennon did two books of poetry.
Yes, he did.
You know, so it was cool for John Lennon to do poetry.
So that was it, you think?
Yeah.
It just suddenly became cool once more to be a poet, whereas before it was a bit sort of, I don't know, you were just a romantic and nobody would have taken you seriously, whereas a novelist has always been taken seriously.
Yes.
Poets have been sort of kept at arm's length, really, haven't they?
I think people like John Betjeman as well was very accessible, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing. Poetry is about communication.
Yeah.
You'll communicate to somebody in a very short, piece of work, and you've really got to put your message across, as it were.
Is it fair to say you think that people are a bit scared of poetry? That it does seem, when you say it, sounds, this is a bit heavy, it's going to be inaccessible, I don't understand it, and they use clever combinations of words that I can't get. And the idea of being able to just listen to them, you think that would be even harder than sitting down and reading them, because you often need time, don't you, to absorb what a poem is saying.
Yeah, that's why I focus on a lot of humour, because you can sort of win people over with that, you know. And it can be, I don't like poetry that's too cryptic, you know. You know, you can do a cryptic crossword, but you really want to read a poem and get something out of it, you know. You may reread it and find other things. Certainly, people have read some of my poems sometimes and found things that I hadn't even thought about.
Oh, that's good. So, what's next for you? What's your next performance going to be?
Probably be doing some stuff on the mainland again.
I
go over to Southampton quite regularly, and it grows, really. Last year I was doing the regular event at the Art House Cafe in Southampton, and somebody came up and said, oh, I'm starting one in Romsey in a couple of weeks' time, on a Sunday afternoon, would you be interested in coming and doing some there? And then after that, I went to the Romsey one, and someone at the Romsey one said, oh, I go to this one in Bournemouth. and you know, it just builds up from there. And and I also go to Guildford quite regularly, and I've done ones in Portsmouth and Petersfield.
Wow.
You know, they're all within sort of fairly easy reach.
So you're really busy, aren't you? That's fantastic. And are you still working, or have you given that up? Have you got some free time now?
I took early retirement 3 years ago. Unfortunately, my mother was taken ill, and she's now in a care home, and had to sort things out.
Right.
And it was a good time to sort of take early retirement. But now things have sort of settled, then I can concentrate on writing. As well, and doing a bit of acting at the Apollo when.
And finally, really, before we ask you to read one more poem for us, I wanted to ask you about the acting, because obviously this is performance poetry. It's a skillful enough to write one, but to then perform it is something else. It's a completely different dimension, isn't it? It's somehow communicating what you yourself have written to people who may have never seen you before, and may be reluctant sometimes to sit and listen to poetry. So I presume the acting that you've done is a major factor in your ability to perform those poems, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly stands me in good stead for doing that, yes.
So good old Apollo Theatre.
Yes.
Are you doing anything else there, by the way?
Not for the time being. I think the next one they're doing is mainly a female cast with one 25-year-old man, and I think I can't get away with that anymore.
No, I can't either. It's worrying, isn't it?
Although I did the Accrington Pals once and was older than the two people that would play my parents.
don't worry about it.
But then I looked very young in those days.
Well, you still do look young, though. Yeah, as our radio listeners will testify. Well, you sound young, maybe. Yeah, well, it's been fantastic talking to you. It seems like only yesterday that we met at the Rhythm Tree Festival. So that's Graham Brown, fresh from the Rhythm Tree Festival. And Graham's going to read us one more poem. What's it called, Graham?
It's called Pointless.
Okay.
And this is because I'm a real collector of trivial information, and I've read somewhere that there's a town in America called Truth or Consequence.
Really?
And apparently it was a publicity stunt for the quiz show of that name, and they managed to pay a great deal of money, and the mayor and townsfolk of the town agreed to change the name of the town. I don't know what it was called before. But
amazing.
So I was thinking, well, what if we had a town over here named after a quiz show?
And I thought, pointless.
Well, I thought we've got we've already got Deal, so we can't have Deal or No Deal. So, and then the next one I thought was Pointless.
Right.
So this is Pointless. Another pointless day begins in the small town of Pointless. The sun rises over the pointless hills, as in pointless streets, pointless people resume their pointless existence. Dog walkers take their pointless pointers for pointless exercise, as pointless paperboys deliver the pointless news, and pintless pointless milkmen finish their pointless rounds. Soon the pointless shops will be open for pointless business, and the pointless football team will this afternoon be looking for their first points of the season. Later, the poppy red sun will set in the pointless sky over the pointless war memorial to pointless wars.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Thanks very much, Graham. Yeah, it's fantastic talking to you. And you can catch Graham all over the Isle of Wight, all over the south of England, performing his poems. Thanks again for coming in, Graham.
That's okay. It's been a pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.